Hello and welcome everyone to episode 7 of Why Should Your Team Win? You guys, I'm super excited. I have a super fan coming from all the way from Columbus, Ohio. Everyone, give it up for Derek. I never did it. Tell me who your team is and how did it get that way?
I am a Philadelphia Flyers fan, and it started back in 1987. I was a kid about a half hour outside of the city, and I didn't know what hockey was. I was like 9 or 10 years old, and I was a football fan growing up. And one day I went out to go play with my friends, and they weren't playing football like we normally did. So, okay, I went and go to find them, and they're all playing street hockey. And my supervillain origin was I asked if I could play, and they said, sure, but you have to be the goalie. I said, okay, cool. What do I do? You stand in front of the net and stop this tennis ball. Okay, sounds easy enough. And it didn't stop from there. It was the needle that got stuck in my arm. And from that moment on, if it wasn't football, it was hockey. And at that time in 87, the Flyers were making their run to the cup against the Oilers. Ron Hextall was the goalie who had taken the city and the league by storm. It was his rookie year, and he's fighting and feisty and shooting pucks. And it was a great, great time to be a fan in that city. And like I said, it was just a combination of everything. And never ever looked back from that. So that's how it started.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say 1987 they went to the cup that year. Yeah. And yeah, I mean the Oilers in the 80s, we all know what they were like. So
monsters.
But yeah, being a Philly fan can be heartbreaking because your last two cups were a tad bit. Yeah, your last two cups were in the 70s before both of our time. But with that said, who was your favorite player then?
Well, so I've had a couple of favorite players. Obviously, Hextall was my favorite. Being a goalie right out of the chute, I mean, that was the guy, you know, any kid in the area looked up to. I've had some other favorites gone through. Like my big, bright, shining memories of the Flyers were the Lindros years with the Legion of Doom and the heartbreak against the Red Wings. I was in college at that time and I loved those teams. And actually my favorite player wasn't Lindros. It was Michael Renberg, because he was the guy that did a lot of the dirty work on that line that didn't get the acclaim that Lindros got or that John LeClair got. And there was just something about Renberg and the way he went about his business. I just liked the guy. So as a skater, I was a huge Renberg fan. And then, Rod Brind'Amour was another guy that I really enjoyed. And then Simone Gagné after him. So as a skater, those were the three guys I really kind of liked. But I followed all the goalies for, the Flyers. Hextall was obviously the guy with his two stints with the team. And then actually another oddball choice, I really, really liked a goalie they had named Antero Nitamaki. He was a
That's a great name.
great. Yeah. So, okay, they nicknamed him Frank. If you don't know anything about him, Antero Nitamaki, N-I-I-T-T-Y-M-A-K-I, they nicknamed him Frank because there was a mobster named Frank Nitti. And so if you can find him, if you look at his Flyers helmets, he has a gangster on either side of his helmets shooting a Tommy gun with bullet holes and the casings flying out. Nice. It was awesome. He played, he was the starting goalie for Finland the year they won the silver in the Olympics. And he got named best goalie of the tournament. And he was, like I said, a great goalie for us at like the downturn of our team. And so, yeah, he's probably my second favorite Flyer goalie that I've seen live. Cause obviously, Bernie and Pelly, I wasn't alive to see them as Flyers, but yeah, sorry, down the rabbit hole.
Well, No, I have a goalie question. So I got into hockey late in life. Well, I was 14, and where I'm from, that's late in life. But I was picking, you know, my home team is University of North Dakota. It's a college team.
Oh, yeah. I know the Fighting Hawks, formerly the
Sioux. So I was trying to find an NHL team because I grew up playing hockey as well. And like all the girls on my team were rooting for the Dallas Stars because they were the North Stars. You know, so being in proximity to Minnesota, you know, you're just like default North Star fans. And when they made the move to Dallas, they were still, you know, in love with Mike Modano and stuff. But I was I want to be different. And, you know, my dad's from Pennsylvania. So I was like, let me check out the Flyers, you know. And I just really liked the orange and like the mascot.
Well, yeah, how can you not?
But who was the goalie that year? I think I liked him. Was it John Van Beesbrouck?
Well, we had Van Beesbrouck. What year are we talking about?
It was 99-2000.
So, yeah. So Van Beesbrouck would have been there. There was a stretch where it was like every 2 years we had another goalie. So that was Hextall's last go around, was right around that time. You might have still had Garth Snow. Brian Boucher might have been after Beezer. There's a huge jumble in that late 90s, early 2000s area. I'm going to just start listing Flyer goalies because they only played there for like a year or two, and then time to find a new one. Like, you know, Spinal Tap bassist, you know, Flyer goalies. It's just, it's just terrible.
Well, let's get into more recent players. I mean, I don't mean to be y'all over this place, but you're such an encyclopedia of, you know, Flyers knowledge. This is awesome for me. So I did a little creeping on you, and you made a comment about Bobby Clark in your history.
Yes.
To do a deep dive on you. But, you know, I have to agree with you, Bobby Clark. When does your legacy, when does the score sheet stop mattering and get overshadowed by your piss poor sportsmanship? You know?
So there's because I've been gone from that region for so long, I'm still not 100% sure how he's received. And it's one of those things about sports fandom that drives me nuts. And it's because there's lots to love about Bobby Clark and there's lots to not love about Bobby Clark.
Yeah.
My thing was at that time, let's go back to, you know, the 70s Summit Series against the Russians. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one of those things when he was in the NHL doing what he did, because that's what he did in the NHL, everybody hated him because, you know, if you couldn't beat him on the scoreboard, you beat him in the fight. But he's playing for Canada and now it's national pride. Now this is for us. And so you love the guy, right? But he's still the same jerk that he was that you didn't like. And I get that. That's not a big deal. But at the same time, as a fan and an appreciator of what the Russian game was like, I look back at that slash and was just like, how do you take pride in that? You couldn't, you couldn't beat them on the scoreboard. So, you know, you took out their best player and you're happy about that. Like that's kind of BS. And then, you know, to bring it back to the Flyers, he did some really good work coming back to the Flyers as their GM. And then, you know, he left, he goes to Florida. He does a great job with Florida's expansion, you know, taking them to a cup. And then he comes back and then, you know, he just starts to go downhill from there for, you know, various reasons, not being able to adjust to the changing of the game, bad decision-making on player personnel and trades. Remind me later, I've got my favorite Bobby Clark story. It's horrible. And I love to tell it. And then, you know, the part of the problem, and this extends beyond Bobby Clark, but he's the emblem of it. The Flyers have a great thing where if you're a Flyer, you're a Flyer. And we love our former Flyers. We love the guys because they tend to come back. They tend to stick around with the organization. They're, you know, if you're a big Flyer, you're a Flyer forever. And our alumni does some great stuff. They're always around the team. Everybody wants what's best for the organization. So a lot of times they feel like they need to be involved. And so part of where the Flyers are now is that they brought Hextall back to be the GM, and he learned outside of the Philadelphia bubble how to work. He worked and did a lot of stuff in LA. So when he came back and said, okay, if we want to be better than what we have been, we have to be different. And so now you've got a lot of guys who didn't like Hextall's approach, and the biggest cheerleader slash rabble rouser among all the doubters and naysayers was Bobby Clark. And it's one of those things where, yeah, it's easy to take pot shots at a guy after the job's done and he's gone. But, you know, where were you when it was all happening, and vice versa? Dude, let's go back to some of the stuff you were doing, you know, before he showed up. It wasn't that much better, you know? So that's my love hate with Bobby Clark. Can I tell you my favorite trade story? My favorite I hate Bobby Clark story?
Yes, please. Yes.
Okay. So I listened to your first pod, and are you an Avalanche fan?
Yeah. I lived in Denver for a while. So
you are going to love this. You're going to love this. So do you know anything about Ray Bourque joining the Colorado Avalanche?
Just that he wanted to win, and there are a couple other teams vying for him, but that's where.
So let's back up here. So Ray Bourque was playing for the Boston Bruins, decided, yeah, it's time to go. They made the whole big thing. Bourque played his entire career on the East Coast. His family was in Boston. He didn't want to go far. He said he wanted to stay on the East Coast. And really, there were only two teams that either could make the deal for him and were competitive enough for him to want to play for them: the Philadelphia Flyers and the New Jersey Devils. Well, the Devils really couldn't make the deal for him because Boston didn't like what they were offering. Boston liked what Philadelphia was offering, except they wanted a young goaltender. And now that I'm telling the story, Maxime Ouellette. Don't worry if you don't know the name. It does not matter. So they drafted this kid, Maxime Ouellette, in the first round. And we know the history, Flyers, goaltenders, blah, blah, blah. The Bruins wanted him. Bobby Clark said no. The Colorado Avalanche were sniffing around at Bourque, and Bourque didn't want to go to Colorado. It was too far. He didn't want to go. Well, after Philly decided they didn't want to throw in Ouellette and make the deal, there was only one place for him to go, and Colorado put on the press and convinced Ray Bourque to sign off on going to Colorado. 2 years later, they didn't win it the first year Bourque was there. They won it the second year Bourque was there.
Yep.
That second year that Ray Bourque was there, the Flyers decided that they needed to make a move at the deadline. They gave up multiple first and second round draft picks and a kid named Maxime Ouellette to the Washington Capitals for 17 games of Adam Oates. Multiple early draft picks, and the kid you wouldn't throw in to get Ray frickin' Bourque, you traded for 17 games of Adam Oates while Ray Bourque is lifting the Stanley Cup in Colorado. Thank you, Robert Clark.
That's awful. But I mean, good for us. Good for Bourque. I mean, you know, I think one of my favorite hockey moments is when Sakic hands him the cup, you know?
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Could have been us, but no. Nope.
All right, well, let me just ask about another player that's been in the news, obviously. Claude Giroux.
Claude.
He played with you guys for forever. And then, you know, he got traded, and, you know, Colorado, there was rumors he might go to Colorado. There's other teams that really wanted him. Then he lands in Florida. Yeah. And, you know, my bracket, you know, I thought Florida was going to go farther than they did. You know, I was really surprised when Tampa swept them.
That was surprising. Odd thing. So you kind of reached out to me, I'm assuming part of one of the things that I was doing caught your attention, that I had tracked all the goals scored through, you know, this past season's playoffs, looking at a whole bunch of different factors. Fun fact, if you're not a Florida Panthers fan, they scored exactly one power play goal. And unfortunately, that didn't come until the end of game four. Like all those goals that they were piling up in the regular season, all the goals that they scored, even in the playoffs, their special teams killed them in the playoffs. I was just as surprised as you were, and I was bummed that G didn't go any further with Florida, but you know, hey, well, and never then easy.
He's in Ottawa. What are your thoughts on that?
He's in Ottawa. Good for him. Because that's where he wanted to go. It was one of those things where it was not a big secret. Like if he had to leave Philadelphia, like his heart. He played his junior hockey in a city called Hull with the Olympiques, which is far, but not far from Ottawa. And then he's from Gatineau. I don't remember exactly. Hearst, Ontario. So he's got connections to that area. Hearst, Ontario is where he is from. And so, yeah, it was one of those things where it was an open secret. He really liked the area. He would go back home in the summers and train and do stuff there. So, yeah, if he has to finish his career anywhere, Ottawa made sense.
You think Ottawa's going to make the playoffs?
Yeah, I really do.
Yeah?
Depending on their goaltending. I mean, they're a solid team, and there's always one or two teams that shocks and surprises. They made a lot of big moves this offseason.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised in the least if they make the playoffs. I really do.
Okay, so they got rid of Matt Murray. Who's now their goalie?
Oh, of course you would ask me that. And I am going to brain fart on that. Thankfully, we've got these devices that let us find this stuff out.
The NHL app.
Right. Ottawa goalie. I cannot believe that I do not remember that. Cam Talbot came out from Minnesota.
Cam Talbot. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes. 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 Yes.
Not a bad move for them. I mean, he's not the most exciting name, but he's a solid goalie. No, that's great for them. And then they've got a young guy, I think, behind him or to play with him.
Yeah. When you're a player like Giroux leaves as a Flyers fan, it just breaks your heart a little bit. You know, he's been there, 13, 14 years?
Yeah. I mean.
Longer? I mean. But you want him to get the cup. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, every player, it's the hardest trophy to win. You know, you want them to chase their dream, but you got to do it in the right way. Do you think he did that in the right way?
Yeah.
Philadelphia.
And it's a Philly thing too. I mean, it's a good thing and a bad thing that you know, we couldn't get a cup with G. That would have been great. And he is going to be one of those lifelong Flyers that he's not going to want for anything anytime he sets foot back in Philadelphia. It's a good thing though, because Philadelphia, for good or bad, we don't hold on or hold back to our stars. There have been lots of Flyers who, when their time is done, bad that they don't retire Flyers, but good that we allow them to go, you know, seek that missing cup, you know, elsewhere. I mean, Lindros didn't finish with us. LeClaire didn't finish with us. Simone Gagné didn't finish with us. Mm-hmm. Patrick Sharp famously, got cups elsewhere after leaving us. And I'm talking about just the guys that were, you know, free agents and walked, not, you know, even the guys that we traded. And mm-hmm. I know G didn't walk. He was quote unquote traded. But again, that was one of those things like, okay, we're not winning the cup. G, write your own ticket. Where do you want to go? You know what I mean? We could have kept him and let him finish.
I mean,
he waited.
Yeah. He waited till his 1,000th game.
Yeah. 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 That was big.
His, you know, platinum hockey stick or whatever they do, that ceremony.
No, that was,
I haven't since I got to pick your brain since you are the Philadelphia Flyers encyclopedia. So Dave Hackstall, he won a championship with the University of North Dakota in 2016.
Yep.
And then he went
pro. Okay, good. So did they win that trophy that year?
Yeah, UND won. After? No, the Fighting Hawks won in 2016.
So that was with Hack?
Yeah, and you know he'd been assistant coach for 10 years or whatever, and then he finally got the head coaching job, and then
gotcha.
I mean, the guy couldn't even, has no emotion. He's just like a blank face. They score a goal, he's just like,
oh, something we Philly fans absolutely loved about him. No, anyway.
So he went pro. How did he do in Philly?
It was a mixed bag. He didn't last long. No, and this is the good and bad of being a Flyer fan, and this is why, even though I am a diehard and a passionate Flyer fan, I kind of have to take our fandom with a grain of salt. He had some good and he had some bad. I thought the reason for bringing him in was very good, which was Hextall, whose son, Brett, played for Hack at North Dakota, which is why Hextall went so heavy after getting him. And the idea was that Hextall thought the team was going to go young. They were going to build through the draft pick. He wanted a teacher. He wanted somebody that could relate to younger players and having firsthand knowledge of how, you know, Dave handled that, you know, via, you know, Ron Hextall's son, you know, that was his choice. And so I thought the reasoning behind it was good. And they played well. The biggest thing I think a lot of Flyer fans turned on was that they really didn't understand some of his lineup choices, specifically with the fourth line and his refusal to break apart a certain trio. It was all questionable. Hextall was the GM was preaching patience. Hack, as you know, very patient, very stoic, very, you know, this is the path. We don't deviate. This is, you know, there's a point and a purpose to everything. And I think the fan base, and then going back to Clark, you know, with the alumni and some of the things that they were doing, they really wanted more fire, more passion, more decisiveness, and they weren't getting it from them. And when they fired Ron Hextall, that absolutely took the shield away from Dave Hextall, and that's why Hack was immediately gone after Ron left, because it was all... They lumped them together for better.
He got hacked.
They did. So,
do you got a favorite cup run for the Flyers, or a favorite playoff game, or memorable game?
Yeah, it was everything right up until we made the cup a few years back. I don't seem to remember what happened once we made the finals. I know we were supposed to play Chicago, but I don't remember any of those games ever happening. Year of seven goaltenders. But no, that was the year we eked in by hook or by crook, just scrapping and clawing. We had to beat the freaking Rangers in the last game of the season just to get into the playoffs.
Ooh.
We're down 3-1 against the Bruins, and we come back for three. I think that was the year we had the bunker series against the Penguins, and everything seemed to be happening in that series. Actually, no, I'm sorry. That was a different season. Those series against the Penguins run together. I was thinking of the that was a different series where everything seemed to happen when we had the guy from Anna, Brizgalov. That was a different series. That run against Chicago where we're scraping by with a returning Adrian Boucher. Yep.
Yeah.
We had Michael Layton, you know, trying his best to act like an NHL goaltender. That was a run because it was all house money. It was just all house money. And it was all grit. It was all Laviolette fire and pulling and pushing the right levers and buttons. That was fun. Heartbreaking. Oh, and that was, I think that was the year we lost Pronger too to injury. So yeah, we had Chris Pronger and everything was looking great. And then he's gone. Yeah, that sucked.
He could have helped. Yeah, he could have helped you guys out. Because you guys, was it an overtime loss in game seven or was
six? I believe it was, no, it was six.
Okay.
It was six and it was the Kane goal. God, I hate goaltending so much. It was the Kane goal that he shot that nobody knew except for Patrick Kane went in.
Yeah, it was like a phantom Michael goal. Layton
on a bad angle decided to drop to his knees instead of standing up. And the puck squeaked in under his pad while he was moving down. And yeah, that's
I know, in Philadelphia, everyone's stunned, you know, Kane's whipping his gloves off.
And that's why I know it was game six, because it was in Philly.
Yeah.
Because game seven would have been back in Chicago. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's heartbreaking. You get so close and, you know, you're like, I need like a whole 24 hours to myself after this game. Like, I need healing.
I needed more. Like, I just like, okay, hockey doesn't exist for a while. And like I said, I thanks for bringing up old stuff.
Well, let me lighten the mood. Let's talk about Gritty. No, I'm just kidding.
No, absolutely. That's a Philadelphia story. That is a Philadelphia story if there's
ever love a Philadelphia Gritty. Story. He's got a great Instagram, great Twitter. I love his commercials. I love his
antics. Two quick minutes. Do you understand how that came about?
Well, Gritty's relatively new, right?
Yes.
Like the last just couple years, no? Okay.
Yes. So the story goes, in brief, because I know I can talk a lot. Gritty showed up because the Eagles won the Super Bowl. And during the parade, they had Swoop, which is the Eagles mascot. I'm blanking on the name of the Sixers mascot because they've gone through a couple. But they had the Sixers mascot. They had the Philly Fanatic there. So you've got three of your four major teams with a mascot all represented in the biggest moment in Philadelphia sports history in Lord knows how long. And the Flyers aren't there because they didn't have a mascot, which sparked somebody's idea like, hey, we missed out on this. We need a mascot. So that's how they decided they needed the mascot. They ended up with Gritty. Fast forward a bit, they introduce him. It's a giant wet popcorn fart. Everybody's looking at this going, what the crap? We're a laughing stock. Oh my God, I can't believe you've done this. The Pittsburgh Penguins chime in on Twitter. Gritty tweets back, and I quote, sleep with one eye open, bird. And Philly immediately falls in love, and he is ours, and we will fight you to the death for him. And that's how Gritty became a thing.
He stole many hearts. He has mine, that's for sure. So this leads into my next question. Is there a team you hate losing to? Is it the obvious answer? Or
Yeah, I mean, you got to say the Rangers because it's a thing. The Devils are kind of up there because they're just annoying and we have that history with the Devils in the playoffs. The Islanders are just not a factor to us at all. Even though we're in the area, the Penguins are if it's not the Rangers, it's the Penguins, and probably the Penguins more. Actually, you know what? I take that back. It's the Penguins. Penguins because we hate Sidney Crosby with the fiery passion of a thousand suns. So when I was growing up, it was always the Rangers, and that's why I was kind of mixed. And I say that because we hated the Penguins, but you kind of had to respect Lemieux and Yager. So we hated them because we wanted to win cups like them. We just hated that our, you know, neighbor to the north was better than us, and it was annoying and obnoxious. But we always hated the Rangers. Then the Pens sucked for a little bit, and then they got Crosby. And yeah, so I think now, you know, I'm old, I'm in my 40s. You know, anybody who doesn't remember what the Rangers and Penguins were like in the 80s, early 90s is going to say Rangers. Anybody from the late 90s, early 2000s or above, if that's your fandom, you're going to say the Penguins.
Yeah. Okay. And then I'm going to kind of sidestep. Your post caught my eye because it was so like extensive in what you had to do. So you're basically a hockey statistician in your free time?
As I put it, I'm a fan turned coach. I got into actually playing hockey in college. And I played roller hockey before I ever played mm-hmm. ice. And so that took me a lot of places playing roller hockey. Switched full-time to ice and just played, you know, rec league, you know, as an adult. Got into coaching. I started as a goalie coach and then worked as an assistant. Now I coach high school here in Columbus. Awesome. And so the problem with me is that I never played as a kid. So all of the conventional wisdom and ideas and thoughts that you take for granted because a coach is telling you who learned from his coach, you learned from his coach, and it's just, yeah. you know, dyed in the wool.
And just ice come, time.
Yeah, I just didn't come by any of that naturally. I had to learn the game by literally learning the game. So for me, it was, I've got a question. Well, I don't know the exact answer. I know what people are going to say, but is that true? Well, let me find out the answer. So it just led to research. And because I'm an obsessive, in general, I've got an obsessive personality. So when there is something that gets stuck in my head and I can't let go of it, I've got to find the answer. And so I dive in. So I'm an amateur statistician from this fact that I do like to dive in and find this stuff out, but I don't, you know, I'm not great at it. It's more scratching my itch.
Yeah, well, you know, I was telling you earlier about, you know, this podcast, I want it to be, you know, people sharing their enthusiasm with me, their love of the sport, fangirling out, if you will. Sure. And how I kind of was just getting bored with these podcasters that were, you know, scrutinizing teams play, even though they're on a 14-game win streak, you know, sucking the joy out, you know. But then I think with hockey, I don't mean to confuse that with being a statistician because sure. you have to overanalyze the game. Someone scores a goal, you have to know every player on the ice. You can't blink sometimes when you're a statistician, you know? And I really respect that. I think you're counting shots and blocks and penalty and this and that, you know, like, I just think it's incredible.
You can get too far into the weeds, which is why, so for anybody listening who doesn't know, so I made a post on Reddit where I tracked all the goals scored in the 21-22 playoffs. And it wasn't about the players. It was about the teams, the shots that they took, how the play developed. And I got it from the most basic of questions, which is how does the puck end up in the net? Because as a player, you know, you're taught certain systems and it just depends on the coach that you have. As a fan, you're listening, like you said, to these podcasts and to these announcers, and you're reading these articles, and however you're digesting your hockey fandom, you're listening to these people talk about the things you need to do to score. Bodies at front of the net, zone possession time, you got to work the cycle, pucks in deep, blah, blah, blah. But as a coach, my line of thought was, okay, I can come up with three or four different, you know, best case scenarios. How are we supposed to score goals? But which one is the best way, really? Which then leads to the next question. Okay, if I can identify what the best way to score a goal is, can I break it down? Because if I can break it down, then that means I can teach it. Which means if I can teach it, why am I wasting time doing any of the other stuff if I have the best definitive way to score a goal? Why don't we spend all of our time doing that one thing if it's the best way? And so that's why I started doing stuff like that.
Well, yeah, then there's also puck luck. Sometimes you're
puck luck.
You get the, yeah. You know, my favorite goal, this was 2005, Robbie Bina for the University of North Dakota. He was behind his own net and he just, you know, shot it out of the zone. It was a funny bounce and he scored. It was like across the ice goal. Yeah. And it was against Minnesota, our arch rival at the time.
Oh yeah,
you know, but it was just like, you know, and it was like the dumbest goal you've ever seen, but it was in Minnesota, the play, the Mariucci Arena, everyone went crazy. Oh, yeah. You know, and but it was like, yeah, dumb puck luck, know, sometimes the pucks go in and sometimes they don't.
Like I said, you know, I'm a hockey coach. I coach high schoolers. It's not a high level. We're probably, in all honesty, the worst or the second worst varsity hockey team in the city of Columbus. We really are, you know, but it's like I tell the kids all the time, shoot the puck. You never know what's going to happen. Shoot.
Exactly.
It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be a snipe. Make the goalie work. It takes a bounce. It takes
and a hit. You know, something. How often it goes off the other team's skate. You know, I feel like that's a pretty high stat I would like to know. You know,
I can tell you that because that's one of those things. I mean, do you want to know? I can pull it up right now and tell you how many of those.
Well, yeah, no. And another thing about stats, you know, there are just some of the crazy stats, you know, like they're 10-0-1 when scoring in the second period or, you know, like these.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Those are just fun.
I do like that. Yeah. Well, you know, or just some players have that special factor, you know, like Devon Taves this year with the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah.
Anytime he was on the ice, we won the game. You know, like Cale Makar is, you know, the hero of Colorado, but it was also Devon Taves. My God.
Oh, yeah. He had a great run.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right.
Sorry, well, thanks we're diving deep into the dorkdom here, and I love it because this is what I do.
Well, okay. Well, this leads into my last question. Why should your team win the Stanley Cup next year?
Because
I know you're cynical, but.
Okay. Why should we win next year? Because no one on the planet is ever going to expect it. And sports can be nuts sometimes. Mm-hmm. That's why we should win. Is it going to happen? Nah, who knows? I mean, I can make the case for optimism.
Well, can you tell me about your first round pick, fifth overall? Can you tell me about him, Cutter?
I really don't know much about him. I mean, Cutter Gauthier, he's supposed to be a shooter. I know he was highly touted. I know a lot of those kids coming out of the U.S. development program, I mean, they get great training. They get great exposure. They come in, they tend to do really, really well. You've got a laundry list of guys lately, especially as of late, who've been doing well. Zegras came out of that program. I can tell you Kent Hughes, Matty Beniers, because I do like the Kraken. I'm in Columbus, so you know we're high on Kent Johnson. Like those guys that they've been producing that go in the high end of the first round, like they're supposed to be players. Now, whether or not he can make an impact next year, I doubt it. I mean, it might take him a year or two to get to Philly. But everybody seems to have high hopes that he's the natural goal scorer that we really need pretty much since Van Riemsdyk, which is another just, you know, stake in the hearts of Flyers fans, realizing that Patty Kane should have been a Flyer because we had the worst record that year, but we lost the lottery. So our consolation prize was James Van Riemsdyk. We had to watch Patrick Kane, our hope for the future, score the cup winner against us, you know, but another DP player.
Yeah. Was Cale Makar supposed to be a Flyer or didn't you guys pass on him?
Revisionist history. And this is one of those things, again, that I dislike about Bobby Clark. It's easy to say, oh, man, we should have, drafted Makar instead of Provorov. And that's who we wanted. Yeah. But four other teams passed on Cale Makar. So get off your horse. Ivan Provorov was the pick. He was the guy that was slated to be the Flyers pick. If you read anything about that draft, if you watch the draft, even the guys in the booth were like, oh yeah, they're absolutely eyeing Provorov. He's the most NHL-ready defenseman. He's going to play for Philadelphia the next year. They were saying that, and he absolutely did. Makar went to UMass and played college hockey for at least a year, if not 2 years.
Yeah, he did 2 years, yeah.
So he was an absolute project, even though he was a high pick. It was a pick of faith. But it wasn't like there were four other teams that had that same opportunity to draft him. And, oh, all of a sudden, the Flyers are the idiots that didn't take him. Mm-hmm. No, we drafted Provorov.
Yeah. And where is he now? Is he still with you guys?
Yes, Provorov is still with us. Actually, hold on. I might be wrong. Flyer fans are going to yell at me. That might have been the Nolan Patrick year. That might, if it wasn't Provorov, no, I am wrong. That was the Nolan Patrick year. That was the Nico Hischier. The Nico Hischier went one when everybody thought that Patrick was going to go two. No, that was that year. That is my fault. I apologize to Flyer fans who are going to listen to this cast.
Yeah, well, I think any
that's player why it makes it more disappointing because Patrick didn't pan out.
Yeah, I think anytime you're a top pick, five, top 10, you're an amazing player. And what I saw this year with this draft, when Sean Wright went fourth overall and he just looked like he pooped his pants when he went on the stage, because now he's playing with the Kraken. He expected to go number one with Montreal.
And
he did that stare down. I cringed so hard because I know in 10 years when he's a gritty veteran who hasn't won the cup yet, he's going to look back at that and just cringe.
You know, so let's go back to this, and this ties into Nolan Patrick. When you go for so long hearing you're the number one guy, and even during that draft when he fell, the guys were like, that's got to be so hard because all this kid's heard from age 13, 14 is you're going to be the number one draft pick in the NHL. And then it doesn't happen. And then not only do you go second where, okay, there's always that shot that you can not be number one, but to fall all the way to four and you're dealing with an 18-year-old kid. I don't care how mature you are. I mean, that's gotta suck. And then to tie that back to Patrick, the same thing when, the Philly fans, we soured on him. And I think we've come around that the injuries and the concussions are, oh man, no joke, who knows what happens when you have a concussion history. But when you're supposed to be the guy, the number one, that top pick, and then you're not, and somebody else comes along and they're that much better than you, like Makar was, and now you get those comparisons. It's so unfair. Mm-hmm. But you're trying to evaluate 17 and 18-year-old kids. Who the hell knows?
Yeah, exactly. I just feel like if I would be thankful for any draft pick I was, if I was the last round, last player, one pick. Go ahead.
I'm going to, like I said, I am interested in Seattle. I'm interested in the Kraken. I love the area. I love that Seattle got a team. I'm really interested to see what he does, because when you have a kid that has that chip on his shoulder, that can either burn you out or light your fuse for a great career. So I'm really interested to see what he does in Seattle.
Yeah, I predict they're going to have a better season because, you have to do better than last year, right? There's no way.
Their goaltending let them down. I know it's a Flyers talk, but we're into Seattle. Who cares?
Grubauer, he was a former Denver guy. And
he
was even kind of getting injured here and there when he played for us. He's got a Stanley Cup with the Capitals, but I think Holtby mostly took care of that run. But then they also got Andre Burakovsky from Colorado as well, and he's a stud. So I'm going to pay a bit more attention to them next season as well.
All right. So what else you got, Flyers? We got a couple minutes left. We diverged into draft picks and Seattle Kraken talk here.
Once again,
I'm a hockey dork. I'm an admitted nerd. I love it.
I think I wrote down everything that I could ask you about. Do you got a fun fact for me then about Philadelphia?
Flyer fun fact. Nothing's fun this season than this last season. Nothing's fun. We're going to love having Tortorella though, because I got to watch the Tortorella show close and personal in Columbus. And I think he'll do well in Philadelphia. I think he's right for that market. I think he's a very, very good coach. I question whether or not we have the talent. I am not a fan of Chuck Fletcher. I don't think he's done a really good job with the team, but we'll see what happens. But some things could work out for us. Like I said, some things are crazy. You never know. Ooh, wow.
Yeah. Excuse me. Well, then my other question, since you're the goalie encyclopedia, he was, I think he was Flyers. And if he's not, then, oh my God, he was in the 80s and he died young in a horrible car accident.
Kelly Lindbergh.
Yes. And he was supposed to be like the bright hope of Philadelphia, or is it?
So as I refer to them, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost of Flyers goaltenders, Bernie Parent, Pelle Lindbergh, and Ron Hextall. So Pelle Lindbergh was a Swedish goaltender who was drafted, I think, after Bernie was gone, or just on his way out. And he came out of nowhere. He was, I believe he was rookie of the year, but he was a lights out stud goaltender. They made the cup in 84 or 85. I want to say 85. They made the cup, because I think they played the Oilers again in that mm-hmm. dynasty. They made it and they thought they were gonna give everything they could to the Oilers the next year. They were primed, they were ready to go. And after a postseason, end of season celebration with the team, he, his girlfriend, I believe, and one other passenger, they crashed into a brick wall in his Porsche. Tragic yeah. accident. They played 86. They did not do well because everybody was bummed about Pelle's death, just from not just a great goaltender, from everybody's viewpoint, just a wonderful human being. And that was the reason Hextall was able to join the team in 87, because Hextall was a young player playing in the minors in 86. And 86 was a disaster in terms of net. They needed a second goalie. Hextall came up during the preseason, won the starter's job, and took us on that run to 87. And that's all because Lindbergh died in 85.
Yeah. Wow, man. I love the encyclopedia, man. This is great.
Sorry.
Well, I guess my Philadelphia fun fact, they were the first expansion team to win the cup.
Yes, yes, as part of the second six, yes. Mm-hmm. They absolutely were. Another fun fact, I guess if we wanted to call it a fun fact, let's do a couple of fun facts. One, Fred Shiro was the coach of those two teams. And besides, being the coach of the Broad Street Bullies, if you can't, you know, light them up. He also got a lot of his tactics from the Russians. He was a noted lover of the way the Russians played hockey, and especially Anatoly Tarasov, who, now that I'm a coach, I absolutely love. And that's who he modeled the Flyers on. So despite the Broad Street Bully name, I mean, they could skill you to death. They could absolutely skill you to death. And Fred Shiro loved watching the Russians, which is why I think it's ironic about the Summit Series and Bobby Clark playing against the Russians. Another fun fact, the Flyers were the first team to have an assistant coach at the NHL level. That was Fred Shiro wanting to have another man on the bench. So the Flyers were the first team to actually have an official assistant head coach. That was Fred Shiro in the 70s.
Sweet.
Yep, so there
Did
you go.
Did not know that.
Yep.
Well, let me see if I can pull out one more fun fact for you. Let me look at my notes.
Got it. Go for
Took
it.
Took notes. So, yeah. Oh, okay. No. So was the movie Slapshot inspired by the Broad Street Bullies? Or was it just the violence of hockey in the 70s in general?
Just the violence of hockey in general. So, okay. I know the Flyers were involved, but it wasn't like they were the inspiration. Okay, so a lot of my knowledge comes from a book that a guy named Jay Grossman wrote, which was The History of the Philadelphia Flyers. And it was one of those things where the woman, I think they wrote a book, wrote the book about it, or at least she wrote the screenplay. But Slapshot was inspired by a female fan of ice hockey. She basically wrote Slapshot. And I want to say Robert Redford was the star of that. And so to get him the idea of what it was like, they took him to it like a Flyers game or something, you know, aside like that. Slapshot was about life in the minor leagues. So it wasn't like it was inspired by the Flyers and, okay, we can't use the NHL, so we'll use the minor leagues. It was a minor league movie. But the Flyers, in some way, shape, or form, had a role in helping get that developed or made or something like that. And I can't remember it. Can I step away for just a hot second?
Go ahead.
Give me just a second.
The clock starts now. You have 60 seconds. R.I.P. Alex Trebek. I'll do the play-by-play. Derek is currently missing. He is running around his house looking for something. And he is back. Okay,
we'll edit the silence out in post. So I mentioned Jay Greenberg.
Okay, yeah.
So you can see this. The listeners won't. But there's a book he wrote called Full Spectrum. And that is the history of the Philadelphia Flyers from their birth up until the 95-96 season. So I can't find it, and I'm not going to bore you trying to find it. But when you mentioned Slapshot, there was something vaguely familiar about it. And I read about it in this book. And that's why I'm kind of brain farting about it. But when you mentioned that, I'm like, yeah, I think I read about that. But this is my reference. This is my Bible. And it's a great book, literally just on the history of the Philadelphia Flyers. So that's why that doesn't seem out of place, that fun fact about Slapshot.
Yeah.
No, that seems about right.
Yeah. Well, all right, Derek, I think I'm going to have to stop you because we could just keep going and going and going.
I will talk your ear off.
But thanks so much for taking the time to speak with me.
My absolute pleasure. Anytime you want to talk about anything else other than the Flyers, I'd be more than happy to join you.
Will do. Thanks a lot. And tune in next week, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie.